How many people it takes to turn H. sapiens into human being? The title sounds like the beginning of a joke, like how many philosophers does it need to change a light bulb? 4, 1 to change the light bulb and 3 to say yes, Socrates, well done, Socrates, good job, Socrates. Funny as hell. But not exactly what I wanted to do. Although the joke talks to me deeper than it probably talks to you. But I digress. This morning I stumbled on a page from Dan Millman's The Life You Were Born to Live, a quasi-kabbalistic astrology book. I have always disliked it, but today I came to hate it. The page was called The Law of Responsibility. I turned it into an audio. As a dyslexic, I have a real hard time reading on the screen. And because it was an audio, I actually heard it better than would have heard reading it. The article's truth value measured under 1%, and I experienced hate, fear, and compassion for people who have to live with guidance that is a mishmash, and that is politically correct. Politically correct. We'll see the significance of that. We, and every living thing, want life to be smooth. And then, when it isn't, we want to remove what makes it not smooth, and that is how we grow, that is life. Depending on the astuteness of our assessment of what causes the not smooth, we either make it even more not smooth, less not smooth, or smooth it out. So astuteness is king in this regard. The world's people's combined astuteness at this time is 1%. Yesterday I did the starting point measurements for a man. His astuteness level is 10%. I cried. From happiness. Why cry? Because it gives me hope. To be astute, you need to have a lot going for you, including X-ray eyes. So you can see below the surface, below the obvious. Below the obviousness of culture, the lazy acceptance of what is not true, often not even likely true. Culture, society, religion do their darn best to destroy clarity of words. Hell-bent to turn people into victims, who never take care of themselves, instead consider taking care of others as the priority. But that is against life, against nature, so you are f***ed. Royally. Because this creates an inner tension, an inner wrongness, and an outer strong force to having to abandon your own needs. And interestingly suggesting that you'll be taken care of, that you'll be provided equally. It is an upside-down, topsy-turvy philosophy, and it messes with people's natural inclination. I like to refer back to Hillel's little poem, The Last Thing I Read When I Lived in Israel. And the last push I needed to make a move out of a situation I created but suffered from. If I am not for me, who is for me? If I am only for myself, who am I? And if not now, when? These three lines are still the ultimate guidance for me. They are telling me to do for myself what there is to do for myself, without waiting to be rescued, without waiting for the weather to change, without hoping that others will do it. It's my job. And it's my job now. They also tell me to look if what I want is only to advance me, and hurts others. For me, the area where this is most obvious is the incidents when I am right, very right, and then I gossip, or take myself away. So every action of mine that is about me being right is only for myself. So I work on releasing that I am right straitjacket. And, of course, waiting. If I am clear something needs to be done, my job is to do it now. I have a ton of those. Still. Back to the responsibility article of Dan Millman. Did he write it? I doubt it. I don't think he can string two sentences together in a readable fashion. But he is quite good at hiring good ghostwriters. One of my favorite books is The Journeys of Socrates. Dan Millman is listed as the author. And the book spiritually connect to his first book that brought him fame and fortune, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. That first book, for a while, created a movement, like a cult. Why? Because of the mystical parts of the same Socrates, a great-grandfather of the hero. Oops, here I am gossiping again. Back to the article. Responsibility is a DNA capacity. It allows you to see what belongs to you and pull it to yourself, so you can own it. What belongs to you is what you have the authority and ability to manage, change, and create. This question, what belongs to you? Is not easy to answer if you are not guided by someone who is outside of the cultural demand to sacrifice yourself and your self-interest. It is easier to see what doesn't belong to you if you test if you can really change it or create it. Your thoughts don't belong to you. The thoughts, the little voice that keeps on chattering even when you want to sleep, or meditate, or listen to something, do something. You can't control it. In the Amish horse training method, I teach you to allow those thoughts, but consider them noise. Use what you do have control over, your attention. Allow the noise to be in the periphery, in the background, and then you'll be able to sleep, meditate, listen to things, and actually do things undisturbed. Your emotions don't belong to you. You can test it. Try to be cheerful when you are sad. You can't, can you? And although emotions are created by words, those words are invisible to you. If you are astute, you can dig them out, and reevaluate them, and consequently change what you feel. But you are not working directly with the emotion. What you do, what you say, what attitude you bring to life belong to you. Them you can control. Interestingly, if you pay attention, you'll notice that everything is controlled by words. So ultimately you get access to what belongs to you, you get access to your personal power through getting skillful at words. Words give you access to everything. What you see, how you feel, what you'll do, how far you can go in life, who you'll love and who you'll detest. In all of the work I do to develop the technology, the methodology to take Homo sapiens a notch higher on the evolutionary tree, to human being is about training people about the power of word and how to access it. At this point humanity is controlled by other people's word, not their own. So the work is to disabuse you, and you disabusing yourself from other people's word. To take your word into your own hand, and create yourself and your life with it. The power to heal your life is in your hand. In today's Saturday workshop, we attempt to create a turning point with a powerful exercise. An exercise where we go through the whole methodology of disabusing the words by which you live. And we attempt to find the word that is yours and allows you access to your personal power. Amazing, and quite a journey. The session is full, but you can get the recording in my mobile app. It can change your life. Or at least point you towards the power that you can have. Get the recording of this workshop, go to www.yourvibration.com/turningpoint. My workshops are all individual coaching in front of an audience. So the size of the workshops is limited to the number of people I can work with inside the time allocated to the workshop. This workshop has 5 people who will be there. You'll be able to maybe even identify with the issues that people need to disabuse themselves of. As they gradually move towards clarity, freedom, and power. Long process. I did it with my partner in the Friday podcast. And it took more than an hour. Alternatively, you can buy the recording of that call. Go to www.yourvibration.com/new podcast. I'll give you access to that call manually.